Welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to our study today. Going back into our study of doctrine, I think that this will be our second or third study in the lesson of doctrine, the letter D. This is our third study in that. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4 and verse 2, "And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." In his doctrine. The Bible also says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, all y'all know this verse, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." Doctrine is the first thing that the Word of God is profitable for. Then it says, "For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." So one thing that doctrine does is it furnishes us in our good works, and it works to make us perfect, to make us perfect. The Lord said that he's going to conform us into the image of Christ until he comes back and we are changed into his image instantly when he returns. And we'll have the mind of Christ, and we'll have a body that's fashioned like unto his glorious body. But until then, we're in a process of being formed in a perfect, to a perfect way. We're learning doctrine. All right. Now, we talked about what is doctrine. Well, we defined it as a belief or a system of beliefs accepted as authority. Accepted as authority. Now, you have to have a final authority. You say, "Well, I don't have one." Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have a final authority. All you have to do is just look for it. Who gets the last say? Who gets the last say in everything? Is it you? You are your final authority. Is it God? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God? Then it gets the final authority no matter what. You have a final authority. And if you don't know what your final authority is, then pick one. If you don't pick what you believe and what you believe to be your and what you're going to stake your final authority, if you don't pick a final authority, somebody's going to pick one for you. And most of the time, you know who that somebody is? Sure you do. It's the enemy. He'll pick you a final authority. And if you'll sit back and you'll not take it seriously, and you'll not take you having a final authority as everybody on this planet's got a final authority, whether they think they do or not. They base everything they believe on their final authority. Now, they might change it over and change it and change it here and change it there, whatever, but they still have a final authority. Everybody does. We're creatures of habit. Human beings are creatures of habit, and we're creatures of worship. We have to worship something. And I just reading today in Hosea, where the Lord was angry with them. He said, he talked in Hosea that he was going to bring them back in the tribulation, and he was going to make them his again, which he is. But in the meantime, he's angry with them and angry with them for making their gods of silver. They're gods of silver. And it said they made their gods of silver, and it said in all their prosperity and everything else, they forgot God and changed their final authority. They said men going around kissing silver things that man made with man's hands. It says it's made of a man, therefore it is not God. What's your final authority? You have to have one to have doctrine. You have to have one. It starts there. Doctrine starts at your final authority. My final authority is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The Lord's words are my final authority. I stake my soul on what that Bible says. And I stake everything that I believe on the truth, on the Word of God. The Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." I stake my soul on the Word of God as being truth and being God's indeed word. God's word indeed. Now, that's what I believe. You believe what you want to believe. And you wouldn't be on this recording, and you wouldn't be studying this and trying to learn from the Lord and learn, let God the Holy Ghost teach you. You wouldn't be doing this if you didn't believe the Word of God. It's so hard to get anybody to try to study God's Word as it is. Even in churches, you know, go in there and, recite John 3:16 and have a few laughs and go home. That's not studying God's Word. The most studying that you're going to do and the most profitable studying that you're going to do in the Word of God is going to be you and God the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's what you're doing right now. You're studying on purpose. And you're trusting God the Holy Ghost to teach you God's words. The Bible says that He teaches us His words, and He does. And the Bible says, Thy word is truth. So we stake our soul on God's word. That's what we do. And then from that point on, we start developing our doctrine. What we learn from the Word of God to be doctrine, to be sound truth. Sound truth. Okay, and we believe it because God says so. God says so. Not a man, not some camel riding rascal out there, not some fish hat wearing fella. We don't worship men. And the Lord tells us not to put our trust in the arm of flesh. We don't trust flesh. Now, God gives us teachers that we trust to teach us the Word of God, but the Holy Ghost verifies those teachers in your heart when He does that. I have some mentors that taught me truth, but I also seen their flesh while they was teaching me too, but that's neither here nor there, but you can trust who God the Holy Ghost tells you to trust, and God the Holy Ghost is not going to lead you to trust some idolatrous liar to teach you the Word of God, because they don't know the Word of God themselves. They don't know the Word of God themselves. They might be educated, but they don't know the Word of God. They might can recite it, but they don't know the Word of God. You see what I'm talking about? Big, big difference. Big difference. So doctrine, a belief or system of beliefs accepted as authoritative. You accept it as your authority. So we accept the Word of God as our authority. And when we say the Word of God, we're talking about the King James Bible. That's what we're talking about. And we don't get in no arguments with anybody else. We're moving on, and we're going to study. And if you want to come along, come on with us. God the Holy Ghost verifies the truth, and He bears witness with our spirit that it is indeed the Word of God, and we have peace with that, and we move on. And we're not going to be tossed about with every form of doctrine, all these doctrine. Well, this is this, this is this, this is this, this should say this, this should say. We're not tossed around like that. We're not going to be tossed around. We're going to stick to the Word of God. We're going to nail it down. We're going to believe it, and we're going to develop it as our doctrine, as God the Holy Ghost gives it to us. And we're going to trust in it because God won't let us down, and He never let us down, and He won't ever let us down. Ever. So moving along, we left off at the prerequisites for one's doctrine. There has to be some things that have to be in order for you to have doctrine. For you to call something your doctrine, there has to be something that's already in place. For instance, we talked about last time, if you remember, one has to believe his own doctrine. You say, why is that even something that you would say? Well, I'm not the one saying it. The Bible says in Mark, remember, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. The Lord blessed him because of the decision that he made of his own free will. Your will is a free agent. That's something that the Lord's not going to, He will help you develop your will once you choose what direction your will goes in, but the Lord's not going to make you choose Him. He's not going to make you. He'll do everything to try to convince you to choose Him. And once you do, He'll come alongside of you and develop your will and strengthen your will to help you. But God's not going to go against your will to do anything. God is God. We should accept Him. Everybody should accept Him. Everybody should worship Him. Everybody ought to honor Him and want to know His words. But they don't. They're God haters. But Jesus said to this man, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He believed. He told Jesus' choice. He told him what he chooses to be his doctrine. I choose to believe you, Lord. I choose to believe you. But help thou my unbelief. Wherever I'm failing at it, help it. Strengthen it. You see? All right? So it has to be your belief. And you say, well, why do you even bring that up? Well, because there's so many people in the world that say one thing and believe another. The Lord said you'll know them by their fruit. And a lot of people's fruit don't line up with the Word of God and the doctrine that they declare that they believe. Just look around you. If you are a follower of the truth and your doctrine is the Word of God and you trust in God's Word and what He says without changing it, then you'll know who's messing with it. You'll know. God the Holy Ghost will point that out to you. He says, see that right there? That's not true. Just like He tells you, you see that? That's the truth. He'll tell you every time. He'll tell you every time. It has to be your belief. If you're going to call it doctrine, you have to believe it. And another thing that we talked about was it has to be accepted by as one's authority. Not only do you believe it, but you trust it. You trust it. You put your trust in it. You stick your neck on the chopping block for it. You are going, it's your final authority, and it gets the final say, and you're going all the way with it. You're not going to change one doctrine for another doctrine, and you're not going to replace one truth with another truth. You've picked your doctrine. You've picked what your choice is for a final authority, and now you're going to learn the doctrine of your final authority, and you're going to stack truth upon truth. You're not going to replace one truth for another because your final authority doesn't change. God doesn't change. The Word of God doesn't change. Did you get that? The Word of God doesn't change. The Lord said, I am the Lord. I change not. And God said He doesn't change His words. He said He doesn't change them. So if they're changed, somebody's been tampering with them. Somebody's been fooling with them. Now, that's what the Bible says. And that's what we're going after. Is what God say? Not what people think He means, what He might be putting forward as a parable or a this or a that or a whatever. What's it say? A majority of God's Word can be taken literally, unless it just is impossible to take it literally. Okay? All right. It has to be one's authority. So we got that down. We believe God's Word. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in Him and on Him, and we believe the Word of God. We're accepting it as our authority. What else? It has to be entirely yours and not someone else's for you. You're not going to... It has to be yours. It has to be yours. The Bible says in John, if you remember, in chapter 6, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. You see how important and how involved God's Word is? The Bible, Jesus said that His words are spirit. They are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given of him of the Father. From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Walked no more with Him. Well, why were they with Him to begin with? Because they was probably, just like it said, Jesus' doctrine was not entirely, it was not entirely theirs. They hadn't chosen that as their doctrine. They had something else in mind. And someone else's for you. A lot of people that are are in church are there to be seen by somebody else. A lot of people that are involved in Christendom are there to be seen by somebody else or there on somebody else's merit. You see, that you're not living before the Lord in front of the world. Even behind your doors, in your privacy of your own home, just you and the Lord should not be any different than you being out in the middle of a great congregation. It's in your heart. It's part of you. The Lord is in your heart. He lives within you. He is your friend. He is your God, and he's your God while you're by yourself, just like you are right now. And it doesn't change when you leave out and go before people or go around people. You're not dependent on other people for you to understand what your doctrine is and what you believe and your final authority. Nobody else gets a choice in your will except God. You see? And the Word of God. If you go by what somebody else says, they're picking your final authority and they're picking what you believe. We choose the Lord as our final authority and we choose what He says as our final authority. We trust Him and Him alone with our souls and with what we believe. The Lord's told us not to put in confidence in the arm of flesh. He's told us in the Word of God not to set our affections on things of this world, but to set our affections on things above. That's what He says, and that's what we do. So, your doctrine has to be entirely yours and not someone else's. That's why it's so very important for you to know what you believe, to know what you believe and to listen to the truth and not to listen to lies. If you don't accept the truth, you have to believe a lie. There is no middle ground. If you don't accept the truth, you believe a lie. There's no middle ground. Another thing is you should have written proof, and we do. The Lord was kind enough to give us His words, and let me tell you something. Anybody that's had any time with God's Word and being in that Bible and has heard, or even sat under the reading of God's words, if they know that there's something about that book. Now, that's the way they would put it. We know what it is about that book. It liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Word of God before He became flesh and was named Jesus, the man. You see? That's got a lot to do with the Trinity there, you see? God's Word, God's breath, God's soul, God's body. There's a whole bunch to that. That's some good stuff. And we get into that in some of these other studies. But you should have written proof. People aren't ashamed to write down their words of their doctrine if they believe that they are true and they're telling the truth. Why should they be ashamed to write it down? Everybody writes stuff down. Even the fakers, even the liars write stuff down. The devil has kept books going for a long time. He's run right parallel with the Word of God down through history. The Word of God, everybody talks about the Word of God has changed, it's changed, it's changed. Yeah? You sure about that? Well, something that might be called the Word of God has changed plenty through history. 200 and something times, so more than that so far. Yeah, you're right. Since 1900. You're right about that. But that don't make it God's. God said He didn't change. And that book's been around for a long time. A long time. And I think it's going right at 900 and sold over, what is it? 900 and something million copies throughout the world? Yeah. There's a whole bunch about that book. You should have your doctrine in written proof, and we do. And we do. And we trust it. And we're not ashamed of it. We're not going to let some knuckle crackerhead talk about it. And you know, everybody's going to give answer to what they believe and how they handled God's word. Yeah, they sure are. They sure are. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 45 through 47, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, he's talking about the Old Testament, had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Jesus is referring them to the Word of God. Now listen to what he says. But if you believe not his writings, how should you believe my words? Jesus said his words are here in written form. Did you get that? Where are they? We know where they are, don't we? Because they bear witness with our spirits that it's the Word of God. We don't doubt it. We're not looking to outsmart God and change something that God says. We want to know God's word. We go at it believing it. God is right all the time. If we don't understand something, it's not God's fault and the word of God's fault. What the problem is we just haven't got the understanding yet to learn that. But we keep on grinding at it and ask God to help us understand it. But it don't make it wrong because we don't understand it. We just keep studying to show ourselves approved unto God. You see? We trust the Lord and we trust his teaching. All right? In written form, what else? Well, it has to teach and give knowledge. Now, we're doing a big recap here, but we're just going to go on through it and we're going to finish this part about this prerequisites for one's doctrine. These are things that have to be in place. Can you see how they have to be in place before you can call it your doctrine? I mean, how can you call something your doctrine if you don't believe it? How can you call something your doctrine if it's not your final authority? If it's not your authority? There's a lot of people in this world, especially nowadays, that are not going to admit anything as being their authority. I don't like authority. Do you keep authority away from me? Authority, authority. They're going to answer to it whether they accept it as theirs or not. The Lord just got through saying they're going to answer to it. He said that his word is going to judge them in the last day. They can throw it around and mock it and cuss it and spit on it and all they want to, but they're going to answer to it. It has to be your authority, okay? And it has to be yours. Yours. Not somebody else's. And it got written proof. Got written proof. Even the false Christs put their writing, put their words in writing and have led millions of people to hell. Yeah. And it has to teach and give knowledge. It has to teach you. What good is doctrine if it's not teachable and it's not worth knowing? I mean, there are some things. Have you ever been to the point to where, and we got a study on that in the letter K, which is knowledge. But I mean, have you ever said in your heart that I wish I'd never known that? Yeah, we all have. I wish I'd never known that. There are some things that you're not supposed to know, that you're not supposed to try to figure out. I mean, God has told us everything in his word that it take us a lifetime to learn if we just study his word and learn what the Lord wants us to learn. This world ain't got nothing to teach you that's eternal. God's words, if we just studied God's words and let his word fill us and saturate us, we still wouldn't complete it. And God's words that he's put in written form, I promise you, are not the end of God's knowledge. It's just what he put down so for us poor humans And some of us think better than others, and I know that by testimony, but your doctrine has to teach you, and it has to give you knowledge of something that's learned, your doctrine. It has to teach you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study what? Study God's word. Study God's ways. Study God's persons. Study God's attributes. Study, study, study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, not wrongly dividing it, but rightly dividing it. You see, God's built his word in such a way to where if you come at God's word and you act like you're going to learn his word for your own benefit and your own glory, that word will mess your mind up. God will let you learn what you learn, but he's going to let you learn it for the wrong reasons, and it's going to mess you up. It ain't going to make him look like a fool. It's going to make you look like a fool. We don't come at God's word that way. We come at with love and welcome hearts and welcome minds, and we believe him, and we don't believe there's any errors in his word. We trust him that if he's powerful enough to create heaven and earth, and powerful enough to create man and animals and little bitty flowers and butterflies and all the wonderful things that he's created, he's powerful enough to put his living word in written form and prove to us that it's him if we trust in him. And the Lord will. The more you trust his word, the more he'll reveal that it is indeed his word. But that's believing him first. You see? All right. Well, moving on into the rest of this, and we're going to just finish up these prerequisites. Another prerequisite that we have to, has to be in place or in order for us to have doctrine, is that it has to represent and hold to the truth. We just got through speaking of some of that about your doctrine. Doctrine has to be truth. What good is having it as doctrine if it's a lie? Some people enjoy. The Bible said that the Lord told us that the devil enjoyed lies. And that there are others, Paul mentioned to us that love and believe lies and love the people that believe the lies and enjoy it and get pleasure out of it. That's not us. We don't want any lies. I'm finished with lies, aren't you? I don't want any lies in my life. I don't want any liars in my life that like to lie to me and mislead me and deceive me and run me down the wrong path. I've done enough of that on my own, haven't you? Anything and everything that tries to pull you away from the Lord, you ought to dismiss and eject out of your life. Get it out of your life and away from your life. Turn from it. Avoid it. Turn from it. Pass by it. Walk away, the Lord said. Get away from it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, listen to this. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. It has to represent and hold to the truth. We have to, if you're going to have doctrine, your doctrine has to hold to the truth so that you can hold on to it. It has to represent and hold to the truth. The writer right there in Hebrews said that we have a great high priest, and he's done everything for us. He's brought everything to pass for our salvation, and he's sticking to it, and we have everything to hope for. He said, in the meantime, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What's your profession? It's what you profess to believe. Your doctrine. Your doctrine. And where's your doctrine come from? It comes from the truth. And what is the truth? Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And who is the truth? Where's the Word come from? It comes from the Word of God that was with God and was God before he came down in the flesh. Isn't that neat? God himself. Those are God's words out of his mouth. Jesus said so. We read it just a while ago. What else? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody steal the truth from you. Don't let anybody change what you believe once you know the truth and you have sound doctrine. You know that you're under the right authority and you trust. And you know, if you've got the right authority, you'll be in love with it. Anybody that holds, that has an authority that's indeed a good authority, a final authority, like the Lord, you love the Lord, and you love Him being your final authority. You're not offended by the Lord being your authority. You love Him being your authority. You know, everybody's under an authority whether they believe it or not. Yeah. And, you know, when I was under my own authority, I dreaded every day, didn't you? You know what we do to, if we are our own authority? We'll destroy ourselves. We'll take ourselves out. If you are your authority, you will destroy yourself. You need an authority that loves you and will tell you the truth and will be there to keep you out of the ditch and keep you from going left over in the ditch and right over in the ditch, and will guide you and tell you the truth and help you. And we do. We have a wonderful God that does that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold them fast. Don't let anybody take them from you. Don't give them away. Don't trade them in for nothing. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. You know what you've been taught. You know the truth you've been taught. You don't trade truth for another truth. You stack truth upon truth. That's your doctrine. That's what you've been taught. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. In other words, you're not changing fast. You're not letting nobody take your truth away from you that your final authority has taught you. You're not letting them discourage you about your doctrine. You're holding it fast. And what is it? The faithful word that you've been taught. And by holding it fast, you have sound doctrine. And you can use that sound doctrine to convince the gainsayers, to tell them they're wrong, that they're foolish to believe what they believe, because that's not the truth. Like all your evolutionists and all your tree huggers and all the God haters and everybody out there says that they're atheists. Yeah, right, atheist. The Lord says they're fools is what they are. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. The fool. God said that. God said that. Not me. I say it because he says it and I know it to be true. Anybody who says God is not real is a fool. And says that he is not is a fool. But by our sound doctrine that comes from the faithful words that we've been taught, we hold them fast and we're able to exhort one another, to encourage one another, to keep to the truth. To keep to the truth and hold them sound words and them faithful words. It has to represent and hold to the truth if you're going to call it doctrine. No lie is a doctrine. I mean, they call it a doctrine. This is what I believe, and this is the golden tablets and all this kind of sort and blabbity, 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 blab. And all this stuff. They're believing lies, and they call it their doctrine. And they have it in written form even. But that don't make it true. That don't make it true. It has to represent and hold to the truth. Now, if nobody out there knows the truth, and there is no truth, and God is lying, and all these different religions in Christendom, and all this stuff that's going on, that's been going on since history, and even the crucifixion, the resurrection, and all this stuff that's been said, nobody can believe it to be true, we're in a mess. But the difference is you have God the Holy Ghost indwelling you because you obeyed and you were born again and you trusted in Christ as your Savior. And the Lord gave you a witness to dwell inside of you to tell you that that is true and what is true and what is not true. Remember, that's what your final authority does. That's what your doctrine does. It tells you what is and what is not. What to believe and what not to believe. And the Lord said that he is not the author. Therefore, the Lord has said to, out of his own mouth that he's an author. What's an author? Somebody that puts his words in a book. He is not the author of confusion. So if we are confused, it's not God that's doing it to us. Because when we study, just like we're doing right now, we're not offended by God's word, of course, unless it's convicting us and trying to straighten us up and giving us a whooping, but that's a good kind of conviction. But it's not going against our conscience that we're trusting in a lie. The Holy Ghost bears witness with the truth, the word of God, that it is indeed God's word and tells us it's God's word and we can believe it and we should believe it and continue to believe it and to hold it fast. It has to represent and hold to the truth if you're going to call it doctrine. What else? Well, you know, when one believes and has sound, true doctrine, he'll hold it well grounded. You'll hold it well and you'll be grounded. And you have it. You have it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be studying. Nobody studies the Word of God except for one of two reasons. They study it because they love God and they love and want to know the truth and indeed are sincere and their will is for the Lord to teach them, or they're belly worshipers. They're doing it for their own belly. They're using God's Word for their belly, for a living, for money, for glory or something like that. The Lord said, behold, they have their reward. Okay? But that's not what we're using it for. We want it because of the truth, because we want to grow and we want to be conformed to the image of Christ and we want to grow in His wisdom. And that's not all. What else? What else is a prerequisite before you can call it your doctrine? Well, it has to give understanding of itself. It has to give understanding of itself. There's a lot of people out there that claim something to be their doctrine and call something their doctrine, but they can't explain it to you. They can't tell you anything about it. All they know is what this says and what this says, but they can't tell you anything about it. It has to give you understanding. I mean, you can have knowledge without understanding something, you see? I mean, that's what education is. Education nowadays is a god. You can get a whole bunch of knowing something in your mind, but it don't mean diddly squat because it doesn't produce anything. It's not truth. It doesn't have any fruit. I mean, they've been going to the moon for how long? They know how to build a rocket. They know how to make the fuel that'll shoot it up there. They know how to put the men in there to keep them killing them. They know how to get it up into space and how to turn it at the right time and how to thrust and thrust down and throttle down and throttle up and all sorts of this and that and the other, and know how to get out and make sure their umbilical cord's hooked up so they don't get sucked into space and all this blobbity blobbity blob. But so far they ain't done nothing but brought a rock back. That's education. That's not understanding. They have absolutely nothing more about space and the planets that are out there and all this, that, and the other that's out there than they did before when they first started, except they got a rock. That's it. There's a difference in education and having an understanding. And God the Holy Ghost is the only one that teaches understanding. And God doesn't share understanding of His knowledge with a bunch of wicked unbelievers that are mockers and God-haters. He don't share one bit of understanding with them. They can be able to stand there and recite the entire Bible. So what? That's knowledge. You got a bunch of Bible teachers and Bible preachers nowadays that have a whole bunch of knowledge, and they can stand up there and say things with the big fancy words and all this, that, and the other and everything else. But when people walk away, they got no idea what was said. I was reading something today. one fellow that I read after and studying, like I was telling you in Hosea, and sometimes he'll make comments about things. And one thing he said today is, infidelic exposition that begins with myth can only end in superstition. Now, that's a real smart guy, but he's a down-to-earth guy. And he talks Koine Greek. He talks street language. And he said that an infidel that tries to stand up there and preach or stand up there and teach to exposition, infidelic exposition that begins with a myth. In other words, he's teaching a lie or he's teaching something that's not his doctrine, that he does not believe. It's a myth. He's just up there for some other reason. Can only end in superstition. It don't mean diddly. There's no truth in it. It's superstition. It has to give understanding. Now, we're talking about somebody that believes the Bible and has the Lord as your final authority, and somebody that believes the Word of God as your doctrine. It has to give understanding of itself. All right. It has to give understanding of itself if you're going to call it your doctrine. One prerequisite is that has to be. Let's read some scripture about that. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5 through 7 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Not superstition and not myth. We're not just following along some wind of doctrine that somebody says something about that's something and something, something, something. We're following a living God that is the creator of all things and can back up what he says he can do, and we know he can back it up. And he has given us his words, and the Holy Ghost has bear witness with the word in our hearts and in our minds, and we know the truth, and we're studying it, and we're going to hold fast to it, and we're going to get wisdom and understanding. We're not going to forget it. We're not going to decline from it. If it's going to be our doctrine, we're not going to forsake it. And it says, God promises that it'll preserve us. It says, if we'll love it, if we'll love her, she'll keep us. She'll keep us safe, and she'll keep us. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. God encourages us to learn his word, to get wisdom, to get understanding. Our God's not he doesn't say things that he doesn't back up and that he doesn't mean. The Lord told us that if we'll search for and we'll look for it and we'll hunt after it like hidden treasure, it says he'll give it to us. And he does. And he does. He is right now, isn't he? He sure is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise. but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We stay in God's Word because God's Word is our doctrine. And He is our final authority. And we learn from Him. And we ask questions to the Lord. And we search for the answers and His will in our lives. And He gives us understanding. He not only shows us what our doctrine should be and what we should believe and what is not, but He gives us understanding of why it is and why it is not. A doctrine should give understanding of itself, or it's not a doctrine. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." There's a difference in worldly understanding and spiritual understanding. Do you see that? God's will, according to Proverbs and Ephesians and in Colossians there that we just got through reading, is for us to be filled with knowledge and wisdom, but to get understanding. Now, that would be very unfair for God to tell us to get it and not forsake it, and it'll preserve us and tell us to get understanding, get knowledge, be filled with the knowledge of His wisdom and spiritual understanding. It'd be very unfair for God to encourage us and exhort us to do that and then not give it to us. But that's not our God. He don't do them things to us. The Lord said that our time with Him and the time that we spend with Him and in His Word is not vanity. We're not wasting our time. He said that it will bear fruit. And it will. And you'd be surprised what you know already. Sometimes you walk away from God's Word and it's like you didn't get anything. You didn't get not one bit of understanding or any kind of truth bearing or that you just think you hadn't. But later on, He brings that to your mind where it says God the Holy Ghost will bring back, He'll bring that memory, He'll bring the Word back to you. It's already in there. You put it in there, and God the Holy Ghost will use it. And you'll see. You'll say, well, I did learn something. Yeah. And that's not all. What else is a prerequisite? Not only has it has your doctrine got to give understanding of itself, but it has to be worthy of adorning. Your doctrine has to be worthy of being adorned. Well, what's that mean? What's adorning mean? Well, adorning is like a bride does. Or a groom. Like the Bible talks in Proverbs about a woman that adorns herself and puts on. What it is displaying the beauty or the excellence of something. It has to be worthy of that. Why would you follow or have a doctrine that's filthy and corrupt and ungodly or have something that you couldn't adore? You see, our doctrine is something that we can have joy and be excited about because it has hope. It has everything with it. It has a God to back it up, a living God that we're going to get to live with and see. Like Job said, I shall see God in my flesh. We have everything. Everything about the Lord and about His Word is worth adorning. Listen to this in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. God's Word is worth adorning and just making, showing how beautiful it is and how excellent it is and how perfect it is. Here you see the devil's business all over Christendom now, talking about, well, God made a mistake here, and it should have been this, and it should have been that, and what in the world is that worth listening to? If God made one mistake, he's not my God. My God is not allowed to make a mistake, because my God is God. Any God that makes mistakes, what if it's a mistake about your salvation? What if he made a mistake about that? What kind of stupid, idiotic foolishness is that? And Christendom's doing that. Christendom is not adorning the Lord anymore. It's not adorning the Word of God anymore. It's tearing it down and degrading it. It's making it a doubt. It's making it doubtful and given all kinds of reasons to be away from it and to avoid it, and that it's too hard to understand, and that you have to go to some kind of specialized, trained nut to teach you what the Word of God says. God the Holy Ghost is your teacher. If he don't teach you, get out of it. Get away from it. If God the Holy Ghost doesn't teach you your doctrine and teach you the Word of God, get away from whatever it is. Get away from it, because it's not God's Word. God's not the author of confusion, nor does he teach confusion, nor does he teach foolishness and filth and corruption and teach people to doubt. What is God's Word? Where is it? God doesn't do that. He ain't within a million miles of that. God loves everything about the way he does things and the way he is. God loves the way he is. And I love the way he is too, don't you? I don't want the Lord to change. He's perfect. He's worth adorning. His doctrine, his words, his truth is worth adorning. It's worth looking at because it's beautiful. It's worth learning. The Bible, the writers in there, Jeremiah and a few of the other prophets would say, his word was in my mouth as honey. It tastes good. It's just good. It displays the beauty or excellence of it. Your doctrine has to be worth adorning. It has to be worth... No, you ain't getting my doctrine. Get away from me. I love my doctrine. Because it has a final authority behind it that's beautiful and keeps his word with me, and he loves me, and he cares about me. Amen? Yeah. It has to be worth adorning if you're going to have a doctrine and you're going to call it your doctrine, a prerequisite to it. Now, that's the difference in people that really believe and really have a doctrine and really do not have a doctrine. It bears fruit. God's word and God himself bears fruit in your heart just by the adorning. You fall in love with the Lord and you fall in love with his word. And it bears fruit just that way. By itself. Anybody that calls herself a Christian and is not in love with their God and with his word is lying. Yeah. What else? Well, your doctrine has to bring profit, perfection, and truly furnish. That's what the Bible says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. If your doctrine is not profiting, then it's not good doctrine. And it's profitable for what? Doctrine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. If your doctrine, if the word of God, if your final authority and your doctrine is not teaching you doctrine, and teaching you what truth is and what is not, then it's not a good doctrine. There's a lot of them that call it a doctrine, but all it is a set of rules. You do this and you do that and you don't do this and you don't do that, and well, we go by this time, and well, the skirts ought to be this, and well, the makeup, and just all this kind of stuff. rules and the law. That's what Jesus argued with all the fellows that was talking about Moses and the law. Jesus argued with them. They were arguing about doctrine. What is and what is not. Jesus had a time for 3 years, 3.5 years with them fellows. They followed him around trying to trip him up in his words all the time. But they never did. He tripped them up a bunch of times. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. A doctrine that's worth having and a prerequisite for a good doctrine is that it has to bring profit, perfection, and truly furnish somebody. In other words, it's helping you. It's not harming you. It's encouraging you. It's exhorting you. It's profiting you. It's perfecting you, and it's truly furnishing you. I don't know how long you've been a Christian, but since you've been a Christian, you have grown. You have been furnished somewhat, haven't you? Well, the Bible should be working. God's words and being a child of God, your doctrine ought to be perfecting you, and it ought to be furnishing you. It ought to be furnishing your temple. You are the temple of God, and it ought to be putting furnishings in your temple. It ought to be profiting you somehow or another. Mormons don't profit from their doctrine. They just have words, and they have some kind of belief and some kind of thing that never changes. It never updates. You know, one's doctrine should give him the entire body of teachings he needs to be right, to be true, to be honest, to be sincere, and to be pleasing to the Lord. What good is it having a doctrine that destroys? What good is it having a doctrine that's worthless? Why believe it? I mean, it's your will that chooses to believe your doctrine. If you don't choose what you believe, somebody else is going to choose for you. It has to bring profit, perfection, and truly furnish you. Now, I'm not saying that the Apostle Paul wrote 14 books in our Bible that we know about. But we'll get into that on some of the other studies. But he even said that he hadn't arrived. Paul said, I ain't learned everything. He said he hadn't apprehended yet, that he hadn't gotten to the place that he thinks that the Word of God is going to take him. He said he hadn't arrived yet. So, but it was perfecting him. It was profiting him. It was truly furnishing him. I mean, he's the one that brought in the new covenant. He's the one that brought in the Gentiles and preached the word, the new covenant to the Gentiles. He was the Gentiles' pastor. And one more. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about prerequisites to one's doctrine, things that have to be in order and be in place, or at least be in place, for you to call it your doctrine. It has to bring forth good fruit for and in one. If your doctrine's not bringing forth fruit, it ain't worth diddly squat. The Lord said that His Word would bear fruit. He says that His Word does not go out and return to Him void. And if you're studying God's Word, it's going to bring forth fruit, no matter what. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, let me read that to you. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, slobbering all over themselves, showing their teeth. Ye shall, well, how you figure out who they are? He said, ye shall know them by their fruits. What fruit is it? What fruit are they bearing? They say this and they say that, and they look like sheep, but they're false prophets, and inside they're ravening wolves. And how do you know that? Because what they say and what they do does not bear fruit. You shall know them by their fruits. That's what the Bible says. You say, well, we shouldn't judge. God just said judge them. He said, check the fruit. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A good, according to the Word of God, good. The standards of what is good in the Word of God, not worldly good. Worldly good is not scriptural good, okay? But even so, every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bear, or a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. There it is. One or the other, left or right, up or down, black or white. You see, that's why the world's trying to bring in this relativistic garbage. Let's all come together. Let's mix over and have one big pot of goo, all of us mixed up together, where we can't figure out what's what and what's what and what's what. Right or wrong, up or down. There's no good and bad. There's no left and right. There's no up and down. There's no salt and pepper. There's no races. We're all the same. That's what they say. But God says that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, that's talking about scriptural, doctrinal fruit. Truth. And ain't talking about what the world thinks is good and bad. It's talking about what God says is and is not. And the Lord says that He said, beware. You ever go out on a beach and it says, beware sharks? Beware of false prophets. In other words, know where they're at. Walk circumspectly like a cat. Take 10 steps, stop, and look around. If somebody's trying to teach you something, somebody's trying to tell you what doctrine is and what is and what is not, and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then check their fruit. Because the Bible says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But he looks like a preacher, but he sounds like a preacher, but he's got a Bible. It said, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. They are prophets, and they're in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Well, how do you figure out between them? How do you know? Check the fruit. If it's not bringing forth good fruit, according to God's word and according to sound doctrine, then they're a wolf. And the Lord said, beware of them. Now, we believe God's word, or don't we? We don't have to ask questions about that. We just go by what God said. It has to bring forth good fruit for it to be a good doctrine. And it has to bring forth good fruit for and in one. Just like we was talking about a while ago. It has to work in you. It has to profit you. It has to perfect you. It has to do something. It has to bear fruit. I ain't perfect, Paul. I ain't perfect by no means, but I know since I've been saved 40-something years ago when the Lord saved me, I know that He has worked in my life since then, and I have grown and I have learned some things. I know that for a fact. And I testify that of that unashamedly, and so should you. If you are indeed God's Word, then you have been taught something, somewhere, somehow, from God's Word, and you have borne fruit. Even if it's just fruit that's growing in you, it's fruit. You see? Good stuff, huh? Good stuff. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures, okay? That's the conclusion of the prerequisites. The prerequisites, what we've been talking about, the things that have to be in order for you to have good doctrine, for one's doctrine. It's things that are required as a prior condition. You have to believe it. You have to accept it as one's authority. You have to accept it as your authority. It has to be entirely yours and not somebody else's for you. You should have written proof, and we do. It has to teach and give knowledge, and ours does. It has to represent and hold to the truth. It doesn't change, and it doesn't change and say, well, God made a mistake and this and that and the other and blabbity blabbity blab. It stays the same. It has to give understanding of itself. It not only teaches us, but it helps us to understand what this doctrine's talking about and what it means by what it's talking about. It has to be worthy of adorning. It has to bring profit, perfection, and truly furnish us until the day of Christ. It has to bring forth fruit for and in us. Amen? All right. Well, here's the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Titus chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 18. And that will conclude the verses for today. And that's good stuff, isn't it? So you can see that we've been over, I don't know how many that was, the prerequisites. I don't know why that's hard for me to say. But anyway, yeah, I do. But anyway, as many of those that we've been through, every one of them fit our doctrine, doesn't it? Every one of them fit our final authority, our Lord and our God. Every one of them fit the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Every one of them fit the Word of God, the written Word of God that God has so graciously given us a copy of, that we can have it right in front of us to know Him and know what is and what is not. Isn't that neat? I'm not ashamed of my doctrine. Are you? I'm not ashamed of my final authority either. And not going to be. Not going to be. Well, we're going to get back into some more of this on the next one. And what we're going to talk about on the next one is man's many isms. Man can come up with some kind of ism. Remember the ISMs, the isms, Mormonism, this-ism and that-ism, and all the isms. We're going to talk about some of that on the next one. Okay? We got this prerequisite down for doctrine, and we're off to a good start. We're going to talk about man's many isms in this study of doctrine. Amen. The Lord bless you, and I appreciate you, and I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.